It's time for a Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning bonus segment. And Joe Bartlett filling in for Michael Riedel. What you got, Joe?
Well, I got the Little League World Series. Interesting story coming out of that. Not the Staten Island team, but this has to do with a coach for Australia, the Australian team. And for the first time ever, the coach, or the manager, has been suspended.
This is the first time ever at the Little League World Series?
Uh-huh. He's suspended for the entire tournament.
Is this before he ever got there?
Actually, it was in their opening game. There was a major problem.
What happened?
He didn't play all of his players.
Wow. Is that the rule?
Well, it's a new rule. They kind of changed it. So he's been suspended by Little League Baseball for playing a game in which one of his 13 players did not have an at-bat. And you know who the child was that didn't get the at-bat?
His kid. Oh, no!
His kid. He was left on the on-deck circle when the team won the first game of their tournament. First manager in the history of Little League World Series to be suspended for the duration of the tournament. And the reason is there's been some other suspensions. In March, they changed the penalty for violating that rule from two games. It's called the mandatory play rule, from two games to a complete suspension. And the reason they did it is because in the past, there were some coaches that would take the two-game suspension. You know, we know little Johnny, the guy isn't going to get a hit. I won't play him, but we're going to win, and I'll take the two-game suspension, and we'll just go forward in the tournament. So now, if you ever do that, You're out for the whole tournament.
I have a whole bunch of questions. Any idea how long they've had this rule?
This was actually it's been around for a while.
I remember.
In most of the Little League tournaments, you have to play everybody.
And the fact he doesn't get a pass because the kid was in the on-deck circle?
No. I mean, I've managed Little League teams, too. Yeah. You got to get them in.
Is that hard to do?
In a Little League, there's a requirement. Yeah, and look, you got guys you know can't play the game.
Right.
So, but they're on the team. So in the Little League, I believe, at least when I was coaching, they had to have at least one at-bat and at least one inning or maybe two innings in the field. There's some.
It's a great rule. I just don't know as a manager, is it hard to juggle it like that?
Well, look, that's the rule. And do you think it's fair that you get this 13-year-old kid's going to sit on the bench for the whole game?
No.
Because he can't hit?
Oh, he shouldn't be on the team anyway. Well, I assume if your team makes the Little League World Series, all these kids can play.
Yeah, but what if a kid is not a good hitter? Well, you know, maybe he's just your son's friend that is on the team or something like that.
Maybe he doesn't like his son.
Now more.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Morning, everyone, on a Friday. Hope you're having a great day. And here we go, Joe, as we close out the week. Michael Riedel's vacation continues. He'll be back Monday. And Joe Bartlett's here. What do you think, Joe?
It's been a good, fun week.
It's been an interesting week.
A lot of interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, well, normally this time of year, you talk about the doldrums of the summer. We've had no shortage. And you get through with the show, and you say, wow, there's six or seven stories we could have talked about. And then the second we went off the air yesterday came the news about Aretha Franklin. What you are, baby, and I was just I was taken with what this meant so many people. And I listened to all the tributes, and she meant so much to so many people called her the song track of their lives. And full front page coverage of all the tabloids, front page of the New York Times, the amount of airtime yesterday and all the networks. Just rather remarkable. I had a friend of mine say to me, he said, you know, I never realized how big she was until, she's gone.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing, isn't it?
Well, she had such a long run, too. I mean, she started at a very young age, and she just had hit after hit. And as times changed, she changed with them. And what struck me was, you know, everybody knew about Aretha Franklin. You liked her music. But when she passed, there was sort of a summation of her life. And when you put it all together, it's like, it's phenomenal.
And the point that everyone kept making is more than just music.
Yes.
You know, she was also the
she was at a lot of places in history.
Soundtrack of the civil rights movement. I mean, This touched me. She was at Obama's first inauguration, and she sang.
I can't treat it of the sweet land of liberty for thee I sing. And when my father dies and the bird him cry from every enemy and inside every.
Wow. Well, so much life to that music, isn't it? I mean, and the voice is phenomenal. On Twitter, there was a very touching post from one of her grandkids. She posted this picture of Aretha. It's March 17th, 2018, sitting at a piano and playing. She said, I have many memories of me coming into her home, and she would be playing the piano and singing. Words can't describe the pain I'm feeling now.
A great voice is stilled, and we will remember Aretha Franklin throughout the morning. In fact, the man who wrote the book, her biographer, Mark Beagle, will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. So we'll have a lot of her music. We'll have remembrances as the queen of soul has passed from pancreatic cancer. What an absolute
killer. That's a
killer.
very brutal disease. I've known some people who passed from pancreatic cancer. It's vicious. I mean, there's no battling that. You just lose.
Yeah, so she's dead at the age of 76. Our big three stories, obviously, we're remembering the late Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Also in our big three, oh, really? No military parade? Oh, come on, we were so looking forward to spending $92 million, which we don't need anywhere else with the problems in the U.S. and Puerto Rico, to spend $92 million on a military parade. Oh, it's not going to happen this year. So sad.
It would have been nice.
Really?
I don't know about spending
serious?
$92 million. That would have been nice.
Serious?
Come on, let's honor the military.
Well, let's honor them. And
we
honor them every day and should honor them every day. I'm not sure $92 million military parade.
Oh, so how much would you pay to honor the military?
I think we salute
them.
Is
there a price tag on how far you would go?
No, but I think we should salute them with our thoughts and our words and our memories every day because we owe them an incredible debt of gratitude. And we continue to owe them, but not a military. That's like a tin pot nation having to show off. You know, don't get me started. We'll talk about this later. No military parade this year. It's been canceled. You teed me up on purpose.
Yes, I did.
And rounding out the big three, blowback against the president, a result of stripping former CIA chief John Brennan of his security clearance. Other former CIA heads and other... There's an admiral who wrote a piece that's awfully startling. And anyway, this isn't going quietly, okay?
It was interesting to watch the network news coverage of this thing yesterday.
Sure.
In particular, it was NBC. Right. They went on and on and on, criticizing everybody, I said, whoa, there are people who agree with that decision.
Absolutely.
Are they going to be in the story?
Absolutely.
And toward the end, they said, by the way, there are some who support it.
Yeah, well, you heard our callers yesterday. It was unanimous. Every single caller.
Yeah.
Said that Brennan should have lost his clearance. Some called him a communist because he voted for the Communist Party. You know, others have stepped forward to say there was no finer CIA man than Brennan, and he was obviously instrumental in bin Laden and all that stuff. Hey, so,
but listen. If you use logic, Len, the purpose of giving access to state secrets to former heads of intelligence is that if they need to counsel the current administration, then they are up to speed on what's going
Trump
on.
Doesn't want any counsel.
Well, he has no interest in counseling him either. Instead, he's become an advocate for overturning this administration.
By the way, he's not going to stop his criticism. So you can take away all the clearances. But you know, it's the overall picture. And I know this goes against what a lot of our listeners think, but the overall arc of trying to silence the news media, of trying to silence fake news, of saying that some newspapers should be shut down if they continue along these lines of fake news, and then silencing trying to silence a critic with a security clearance.
See, that's not fair. John Brennan is free to go anywhere he wants.
Well,
he can be on CNN 24/7.
Does Trump know that?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not sure.
He's just not going to give him the security. That's fine.
He's taking shots. All right, fine. By the way, we have Mets tickets at 7:30. We have the Turning Point at 8:30. By the way, the Turning Point will be from the first game.
Okay.
Because the Mets set an all-time record. 24 runs, 25 hits, most runs.
Where's the Turning Point on that one?
Well, you'll have to call up and tell us. And if you're right at 8:30, you'll win some free tickets. But
I saw the score this morning. I thought it was. I said, "Wait a minute, 24-4. What? That's not the score.
24-4." Well, I was watching it. Well, first of all, the game was not on TV.
Oh, it
no television. It was one of those games that was just on Facebook. How ironic is that?
Oh yeah.
The only way you could watch it was on Facebook, or the best way.
WOR.
WOR.
That's right.
Howie and Josh and listen, that was something.
Yeah, too bad they couldn't have saved some for the second game.
Well, that was the point. I said that just as the game was going down. Come on. Save something. But
well, hey. They got like quite a few in the second game. It was just that Steven Matz had another stinker of a game.
Yeah. Well, he was coming back from his little visit to disable. They lost 9-6 in the second game. But 24-4. Very cool.
Yeah.
You'd like to see the military parade? Is that what you're telling me?
Actually, $92 million is a lot for a parade.
I was going to say, how is that conservative? Seriously, $92 million?
No, it's way too expensive. We really don't need a parade, and but I can't agree with Glenn on that.
You can't agree? You can.
I couldn't.
Why not?
But I do.
Oh, you do agree with me?
Well, look, at $92 million is a lot of money.
Wouldn't you like to take that money and help the people in Puerto Rico, maybe? Help? How about Veterans Affairs? How about cleaning up veterans' hospitals with that $92 million? Come on, Joe.
The federal government wastes $92 million. That's like it's
well, that's no excuse.
Change falling out of their pocket, $92 million.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Come on.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Omarosa has a new tape out. What's it? The daily drip, 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 drip of Omarosa. This one is with Lara Trump, who's Eric's wife, and this is where she gets offered the $15,000. Well, you can call it either hush money or a no-show job a month. You
know. It's a non-disclosure agreement, right. Len. It's not a no-show job,
right?
And why heck is Lara Trump?
Lara.
Well, whoever she is, Eric's wife,
is she brokering
deals with Omarosa?
Well, I guess she was part of the campaign. So the campaign was hiring. I mean, Lara must be part of the campaign.
Oh.
So that's that.
Go away, Omarosa. Go away.
Why?
There's a good story this morning about how she is trolling Trump. She knows how to get under his skin.
Oh, she sure does.
And they've advised him, cool it. Cool it. Don't let her get to you, but he can't help himself.
Okay. You mean he shouldn't be calling her a dog? Is that what you're saying?
He can't help himself.
That's our president. So, wow, we got so much to discuss. We have some great guests later this morning. Long Island Congressman Peter King. We have the biographer of Aretha Franklin. We have Bill Donahue of the Catholic League. He's going to join us.
I spoke to him last night about this Pennsylvania report.
Yeah.
He's got a very interesting response. Says there's a lot of lies in there.
Yeah, he's
a lot
really,
of lies.
He's fighting back against this report that said 1,000 kids were sexually abused, 300 priests. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from actress Katie Lowes, who was on the TV show Scandal, now on Broadway. Jam-packed show. We have real news, fake news. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have a lot of fun. Coming up, a real stunner. Free tuition at NYU Medical School for all. How about that? That came out of the blue. Hey, after 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there, go to school there, or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? Two questions. Where are you in Lower Manhattan, below Canal Street, between September 11th, 2001, and the summer of 2002? And secondly, have you been diagnosed with cancer? Now, if you answered yes to the two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients who were affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help you. Just look him up. How many cases over $1 million? Well, Noah's resolved over 400. Them $400 million cases. If you were a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call them. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888 974-3125. Our first look at traffic during our show this morning. Let's go to Cindy Waitman. 623 TGIF and breaking news, Joe Bartlett, in a way. We now have the winter forecast. See, everyone wants to know, with summer winding down, what's the winter going to be like? And now we know.
Well, I just got my farmer's almanac.
It just arrived today.
Yeah, well, may have arrived yesterday. I just got it this morning.
But and?
The forecast for the Northeast winter, warm and wet.
Wow.
Warm and wet.
Must be global warming, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's been pretty extreme. For example.
Are they ever right, by the way?
Yeah, they're accurate.
Okay. And what do they base this on?
Weather is cyclical.
Okay.
Who was the guy,
Al Roker.
No. He used to put out the whole year forecast ahead of time.
A whole year?
A whole year.
Day by day?
Why can't I think of his name? He used to be a guest here on WOR all the time.
Yeah.
December. This coming December, the average temperature will be 40 degrees. It'll be rainy Northeast. And mild to start.
Yeah.
Snow, 4 through 7.
Right.
Then cold, rain to snow.
Snow December 4th? Mark it down.
Yes, between the 4th and the 7th of December.
That doesn't sound warm and wet if there's snow. I thought there'd be no snow.
But there's rain mixing in. There's a lot of rainy periods, too, in December.
What about January and February? Just not every day, but is there snow?
Between January 1st and 7th, there'll be snow. And that's it. Snow showers. But yeah, so
nothing much.
First week in January.
First week. Well, yeah. that'll be great for travel plans, people coming home on the first.
That's so plan your trip to Aruba.
Yeah.
First to the seventh.
All right. Hey, this caught me, and it came out of the blue. Had you ever heard any rumblings about this? NYU Medical School. Free tuition for all students, present and future, regardless of merit or need. It's because of all the crippling student debt these kids get. You know, obviously they have great support at the NYU Medical School, the Langone family for one. I mean,
that's the family that's making this possible, the Langone family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They live down the street from me. I wish they'd have free
really?
Property taxes
Must
for all
be
their
a
neighbors.
Good neighborhood, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a very wealthy family.
Yeah, they. That's really great, but for these students.
So it's about, 50, I think they said it's about $50,000
a year. $55,000 a year. There are 93 first-year students. They say they'll be the only top-ranked medical school in the nation to offer full tuition scholarships to all students. And, you know, obviously it's the student debt business, and they're hopeful. For example, the average student debt incurred by the class of 2017 was $184,000.
Wow.
That's a lot of years before you can start paying that back if you first become an intern and, you know, then become a doctor and all that.
Well, the goal is to get these people to become general practitioners rather than specialists. And they say that doctors have to specialize because that's where they can make money.
All right. It's said that NYU would raise more than $450 million of the $600 million that it anticipates will be necessary to finance it. About $100 million of that was contributed by Ken Langone, the founder of Home Depot, and his wife Elaine, for whom the medical school is named.
But that's just that's a hit. Really, take $100 million. By the way, the students who get the free tuition still have to pay room and board, which I think is about $30,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's down in a pricey area of Manhattan. And also, they're hoping that other medical schools follow suit. That's great. I like to see the law schools. I mean, medical schools, I understand, can be very expensive. They have labs. They have infrastructure. Law schools that charge a bundle, they got nothing. I don't even know if they use books anymore. You know, you got to pay the professors, but it's not like medical school. So hopefully some law school down the line will decide the same thing.
Yes, and then we have pro bono lawyers.
Well, why not?
Anyway,
they're hoping others follow suit.
Good move.
Rikers, you're upset with Rikers, huh?
Well, it's kind of an interesting situation. The mayor instituted some changes there, didn't like that young inmates were put into solitary confinement. And so he's banned that. As a result, the Corrections Officers Union claims that there's been an uptick in violence. They just put on display a corrections officer who had this brutal cut on his head after a fight with an inmate. And they point out these people are in jail for a reason. They have nothing to lose. And he says they're not interested in drawing and creating art projects.
Most
of these guys have gang connections. They have a criminal mindset, and when they misbehave, They should be separated from the general population, which cannot be done now.
And de Blasio's the guy who says that can't be done?
Yes.
And what's the rationale for that?
Well, it's specifically anyone under the age of 22.
So it's an age thing.
Yeah, he doesn't want the young kids. But those are the guys that are causing the problems.
And this is a prison security guard who is...
I mean, there's been a rash of attacks on guards at Rikers. So this is the situation we want to put above department stores in Midtown now.
Not Midtown.
Does that make sense?
Well, he wants to have four in the four boroughs, four of the boroughs. Yeah, amongst the department stores and
it's convenient. You can go down and get your Band-Aids when you get beat up.
Great. All right, with Riedel out, we've got Joe Bartlett filling in, and someone's got to do the news for Bartlett, and that is someone, Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Joe. As we know, Governor Cuomo had the comments about America was never great, and Republican candidate for governor Mark Molinaro seized on those very things yesterday in TV and radio interviews.
This nation, with all of its imperfections and flaws, is great because of its principles, its ideals, its promise, and its potential. It has been the beacon of light, hope, and opportunity for countless generations for hundreds of years. This governor should know better.
He wants Cuomo to apologize for what he said.
He said nothing, right? Radio silence from the governor?
Well, there's no apology. Nothing other than that statement that his office issued.
There hasn't been anything else that's been said about it. No follow-up to
Well, eventually he's going to have to do something public.
Well, he's got the debate next week.
Does he wait to the debate to do that? Or can you... I mean, just thinking from a PR standpoint, can you come out and say anything now that makes it sound better?
You know what? He was getting cover from some of the reporters yesterday.
He was?
Yeah, they were saying... Well, they seized on that short comment, but in context, what he was really trying to say was
the bigger message.
What I'd love to see just once is a guy coming out and said, I'm sorry, I said that, it was wrong.
It was dumpster, man.
And leave it at that. Yeah. You know what they always do? If I offended anyone.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, if I may have offended someone, I'm sorry for those I may have. No, just come out and say, you know what, it was a dumb thing. I was trying to make a point. I bobbled it. I screwed it up. I'm sorry. America's great. It's always been great. It's the greatest nation on earth. Let's move on. That would be a good way to do it.
Yeah, I think that goes miles if you do something like that. I do think it makes a difference.
I don't think Andrew Cuomo would do that.
I don't either.
A smart politician probably would do that. Look, that was a...
Well, you know the president wouldn't do that, but let's not go there.
Speaking of the president, President Trump's military parade in Washington has been pushed back to next year at some point. The president has asked the Pentagon to stage that parade like the one he attended in Paris, and that's at a cost at this point of $92 million. Martha Raddatz explains some of the details.
Bringing this equipment in, bringing the flyovers, all of this that's planned for this military parade costs money, and far more money than it was first estimated.
I do feel like it was. For some reason, I thought the number was always around that $92 million.
I never heard that. No, that was a big. Associated Press came out with that yesterday, and I think that's.
Well, General Mattis said that's not a right. That's not a correct number.
So I'm not sure that's the real number. That's what AP was reporting.
Gotcha. And fellas, I guess apparently bears are getting better at their berry type jobs. What they're supposed to do. A nosy bear in Alaska is doing whatever it takes to get a late night snack. According to reports here, this woman and her mother had just returned from a walk when they saw a black bear approach a Subaru car at the Mendenhall Glacier. Then the bear put his paw on the door handle, opened the door, and took off with a takeout container.
Really? What was in it?
Bears can open doors now.
Was there anything in the takeout container?
No report if it was a KFC bucket or what it was that they had going on there. Officials are reminding residents not to keep food in cars because that scent can attract bears. And that's backed up by California, where they just recently shoved footage from dash cams of the sheriff deputies having to shoot out with non-lethal beanbags the back of a car because a bear had opened the door, gotten himself locked in the car, and they had to break out the back window for the bear to escape.
Well, when they leave a jar of honey in the police car, big mistake.
And there's a donkey by. Oh, poo.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You got it, fellas.
And we get back. We have the Mets record setting day. I'm talking records. And by the way, did you ever shoot a 59 in golf? That's not all set up for a joke. But first, Cindy Waitman with traffic.
NWOR.
So it's 6:40. I don't want you to think I'm piling on, but what did you think when Trump was trying to pay tribute to Aretha Franklin and said, well, she's worked for me on several occasions?
He's not good at that stuff.
I mean, he
can't fake sincerity.
What?
Unlike Bill Clinton.
Yeah. He was faking that?
Yeah, he was a pro.
Well, I want to begin today by expressing my condolences to the family of a person I knew well. She worked for me on numerous occasions. She was
a lot of blowback from people say, well, it's not about you. It's not, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So okay. That's not piling on.
Easy free shot there, Len.
It's not piling on. I just want to know what the rules are around here.
Yeah.
Hey, how about those Mets? Talk about piling it on. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here is Bautista. First pitch line down the left field line, deep towards the wall. It is a fair ball, base hit. Karam's off the top of the fence, stays in play. Flores scores, and going into second with a double, a Mets historic double, if you will, and a run batted in is Jose Bautista. The Mets now lead 24-4. They have now scored more runs and accumulated more hits in this game than they have in any other nine-inning game in franchise history.
The voice of Howie Rose. How about that yesterday in Philadelphia? 24 runs, a team record. 25 hits, a record. Bautista himself had 7 runs batted in. How about that?
Did he? He had a grand slam, right?
Ask and you shall receive.
The 0-2 on the way, hit high in the air to left field. It's got some legs. Hoskins back on the track, and there she goes. Grand slam, wow. Jose Bautista.
See, there you go, Joe.
Man, oh,
the
man.
The day before, they had a 9-run sixth inning in Baltimore and then a 10-run fifth inning in Philadelphia. And Howie was able, let's see how emphatic the final out is. Because by then, I think, you know, when a team comes up in the bottom of the ninth, we used to say in the schoolyard, oh, we need 20 to win and 20 to tie and 21 to win. Yeah, well, let's see.
2-2. Now the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball to left center field. Austin Jackson moving into the gap. Makes the two-hand catch. Put it in the Mets record books. As they have set a new team record for the most runs and most hits in a 9-inning game as they trounce the Phillies in the opener of this doubleheader, 24-4.
Don't put it in the books. Put it in the record books. There you go.
Howie sounded so exhausted after calling that game and thinking to himself, gosh, I got another one.
Hey, right. They had a second game of the doubleheader. Yeah. That one didn't fare so well. They lost that one 9-6. Steven Matz didn't fare too well. So we don't need any highlights of that. By the way, if you're wondering about the Turning Point contest at 8:30, a command decision was made by the staff. The Turning Point is coming from the first game of the doubleheader.
Well, there would be no Met Turning Point in the second.
Well, there would be. It's always a turning point, win or lose. Yeah. You know,
could have been we like the Met Turning Points.
Well, there you go. So you have that. So what did the manager, Mickey Callaway, have to say about the 20-run win?
Those are the things that we always value is watching these guys get better and better. And I think our team as a whole has gotten better. I mean, it's evident. We're scoring more runs. We're putting together better at-bats. We're playing better defense. We're taking care of the ball better. So, you know, I'm really proud of the guys for that.
There you go. They're back in action in Philadelphia tonight. Coverage here on WOR begins at 5:05. And Joe, the strikeout epidemic is just mind-blowing in the major leagues.
New York Times has a story out this morning where this will be could be the first time in history where there are more strikeouts than hits.
That's mind-blowing.
More strikeouts than hits in Major League Baseball. It's pretty close right now. At the moment, 8.47 hits per game, 8.44 strikeouts per game.
So, I'm not a sports guy anymore, so my first question would be, though, are the pitchers just better or are the batters worse?
They attribute a lot of this to the shift. You know, that defensive shift?
Yeah, so it's taking away a lot of it out?
Well, it's taking away a lot of hits.
Oh, I see.
It's taking away the hits.
That's why there's more. So
reduced
the
hit
hits down, hit totals down over previous years?
Well,
is that it?
Well, 1980, there were 9 hits per game, so now it's about 8.5. So, yeah. Just a couple of hits.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay. The shift. I can see that. I'm not a big fan of the shift, and I always wonder why they only shift on lefty batters. Why not shift on right?
I know it.
I don't like the shift. And why can't a batter just poke his bat out? I mean, we were taught as kids to hit the other way. You can't teach a major leaguer to hit the other way or bunt the other way.
The other thing too is you get rewarded more for home runs, more so than you would get penalized. They don't penalize players for the strikeouts. Unless you just don't get hits. But if you strike out a lot, like a judge strikes out a lot, but he gets a lot of home runs, the strikeouts are forgiven. As opposed to, you know, guys like Pete Rose who just kind of dink and dunk the balls all over the place.
Well, I just go back to what I've said before about Joe DiMaggio and Yogi Berra. You know, they went entire seasons, maybe striking out 13 times.
Wow.
9 times. You know, Yogi didn't strike out.
Yeah, I think the pitchers are just much better now.
And they bring in the relievers a lot earlier.
Yeah.
So, and they have all these live arms out of the bullpen. Yeah, it has to do with the pitching, too. Hey, did you ever shoot a 59?
No. Sure. Maybe a 9.
Have you ever shot a 59 for 9?
No, I don't think it's been that high.
I shot a 58 for 9 once. Yeah. But 59.
That's amazing. Yeah. So how much under par? Was it about 12 under par?
Well, I think it was a par 70. Brent Snedeker yesterday at the Wyndham, which is in North Carolina, opening round, I think he was 11 under par. So that must have been a par 70 course.
Yeah, wow.
So a 59. Rare 59. Is that something?
That's amazing.
He birdied the last hole for 59. I think he had a bogey in there somewhere, too.
Well, he must have had an eagle, too.
You know, and I forgot, because I always thought 59 is the record. I forgot that Jim Furyk had a 58.
That's right, yeah.
A couple of years ago. Hey, you know, the Colin Kaepernick story, he was the first guy that kneeled the anthem, and he's suing the NFL over collusion that they kept him out of the game. Well, now a story surfaced that John Elway, who runs the Denver Broncos, actually offered him a job.
I read that, yeah.
A couple of years ago. Here's Elway.
Well, you know what, and I said this a while ago, and, you know, Colin had his chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He didn't take it. So, you know, and as I said in my deposition, and I don't know if I'm legally able to say this, but, you know, he's had his chance to be here.
That's interesting. Hadn't heard of someone giving him a shot. This was a couple of years ago. Gave him a shot.
It's a better story if he doesn't have a job.
And here's a one-liner. Serena Williams telling Time magazine her male coach told her that she should stop breastfeeding to help her tennis. And she said, you know, that's absolutely hard to take from a guy.
It is, but, you know, there is an effect, I guess, when you breastfeed, right?
Well, the coach is trying to make the point that your focus, if you want to be a top-flight athlete, has to be on sports and not on family, which I guess is controversial in a way, but, you know, if she wants to concentrate on their baby, fine, but if she wants to concentrate on being number one again, it's a different set of disciplines.
To be a superstar, you have to have singular focus. You're right.
I think you're right. Coming up next, the intelligence community is fighting back over stripping security clearances, Joe.
Let me tell you about iHeartRadio and this weekly mixtape that we put together every week. We create a personal mixtape just for you. It's based on the music that you love, that you thumb up, and that you listen to the most. And you get a fresh mix every Monday. So check out iHeartRadio's app. You'll find yours fresh Monday morning. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, and all free here at iHeartRadio.
All right, we got a heat advisory going. Let's see what's doing with the weather with Ray Stajan. It is 6:53 on a Friday. It's going to be another hot one. And it's certainly hot with the intelligence community. Now, we took phone calls yesterday. Good morning, Joe Bartlett. How are you?
Good morning, Lynn. I'm great. It's a Friday.
It is, yeah. You know, we took phone calls yesterday on the subject when the president stripped former CIA chief John Brennan of a security clearance. And you thought it was a good idea. I thought the president was being thin-skinned, and every single caller down the line agreed with you and thought that Brennan shouldn't be out there with a security clearance. But now there's some serious blowback. Now, a group of ex-CIA chiefs.
Six of them
have written a letter to the president.
Yeah, actually a dozen top intelligence officials are saying, you know, take ours away. CIA directors, former CIA director, General David Petraeus, Leon Panetta, Michael Hayden, and George Tenet, they call the removal of Brennan's clearance unprecedented, an unprecedented attempt to stifle not only Brennan's freedom of speech, but also that of other former and current officials.
Now, so you don't see, I view this in a wider arc that the president just doesn't like criticism. That's why he takes on newspapers that criticize him.
Well, let's clear, he doesn't like criticism.
He calls it fake news when it's just critical news.
Right.
Well, and now he's taking on Brennan because Brennan is very critical of him. So anything that's criticism, the guy tries to stifle.
See, the thing is, it's not that clear and cut that he's stifling criticism and that he doesn't like, if it's a negative, it's fake. There's a lot of misleading news coverage. It's slanted. It's not as balanced as it should be. So from
that slanted,
it's not as balanced. Okay,
it's not fake, balanced. Though. Does that make it fake?
Well, it's not fair. It's not fair. I don't like the fake news thing. I don't like the enemy of the state.
Call it unfair news.
I would call it unfair because they're not being fair. And in terms of the situation with Brennan, this guy clearly he went beyond just a former CIA director offering his thoughts and comments on the policy decisions of the new administration. He's an advocate for change. He would like to see this president taken down.
Now here's my question. I don't know if
that's
the,
different. That's different.
Was Brennan using any classified information in his attacks on the president?
Or
is it just off the top of the head?
I don't know. I don't know. But right. You know what? Why give this accommodation to a guy who is out there trying to destroy you?
All right. Did you ever hear of William H. McCraven? He's a retired 4-star admiral. He was the head of the U.S. Special Ops that oversaw the Navy SEAL raid that killed Osama bin Laden.
Okay. This is grandstanding stuff, but go ahead.
So he wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post. Why is this grandstanding?
Go ahead.
In the op-ed, McCraven, who retired from the Navy in 2014, described Brennan as a man of unparalleled integrity whose honesty and character have never been in question, except by those who don't know him. Therefore, I would consider it an honor if you would revoke my security clearance as well,
grandstanding,
so I can add my name to the list of men and women who have spoken up against your presidency.
Len, this is more than just somebody being critical of the president. He's like an extreme partisan right now.
John in Rockaway, New Jersey, you wanted to weigh in.
Good morning, guys. Now, I feel like the most important job the president has to do is keep this country safe. So this question is directed towards Joe. If he takes the security clearance away from all the people that they're thinking about doing it to, does that, yes or no question, Joe, does that keep our country safer or worse?
I don't think the safety of America depends on John Brennan having security clearance. There are plenty of very competent people in the intelligence community at the moment. And, you know, we're not endangered because John Brennan doesn't have security clearance.
No, but he's talking about taking it away from almost a dozen people.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
And if he does?
We'll see. Call me back.
Well, John, you're the first caller since yesterday. Not one caller yesterday took your point of view. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Quickly, Linda. Linda sounds like she's a big fan of Joe and me. So go ahead, Linda. She's laughing already.
I say that you should be calling balls and strikes, Len. But that being
I am.
Said,
I am. That's exactly what I'm doing here. I'm refereeing fairly, and I'm calling them as I see them, Linda.
Right, right.
Now, my point is, it's not that it's fake news, but the word biased, you two said the word biased news, because it's all,
Linda, you're breaking
up. You know what, I won't go as far as saying it's biased.
Linda, by the way, if you're still listening, Linda, you were breaking up. We didn't cut you off because we didn't like what you were saying. Your phone line wasn't good.
She's claiming the news is biased. And I
your news is biased?
No. The general coverage.
General news.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to take your argument.
No, I wouldn't say biased because that would be a deliberate attempt to slant it. I just don't think...
There are more liberals who work in network newsrooms than conservatives.
Yeah, and I mean, they just see it a particular way.
This is John Kennedy. He's the senator from Louisiana, Republican, who talked about John Brennan.
I think most Americans look at our national intelligence experts as being above politics. Mr. Brennan has demonstrated that that's not the case. Yeah. He's been totally political. I think I called him a butthead, and I meant it.
Butthead?
I think he's given the national intelligence community a bad name. I don't see why he would need a security
guard. That make John Kennedy Beavis? I don't know. He's a butthead. That's what he says.
Well, he has become a political partisan now. It's
the
not a matter
a
of
point,
an advisor to the White House.
Yeah, if you can strip away everyone's, bottom line is, does it make America safer or not? But
I don't think it's going to endanger us at all.
You don't think it'll change anything? No. All right, coming up, remembering the Queen of Soul, her words, her music. We've got some great sound to play for you. Aretha Franklin, dead at the age of 76. 7 o'clock.
Herman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone. It's going to be another hot Friday. It is August the 17th. I found interesting, Joe Bartlett. They said Aretha Franklin died on August 16th. They said Elvis Presley died on August the 16th.
Really?
Babe Ruth died August the 16th. Interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Three giants. In,
well, if you're a giant, you better find something to do on August 16th.
Yeah, just stay in a bubble.
That's something. Really?
Yeah. And Madonna was born on August 16th. So, yeah, comings and goings on August
16th. What a day, huh?
Yeah. Our big three stories this morning as we get going on the 7 o'clock hour. No military parade. The Pentagon says, well, maybe 2019. It's not going to be Veterans Day weekend, and it's not going to cost $92 million because we're not going to have it. Now, the $92 million figure came from the Associated Press, so we're not sure if that's a real figure or not, but I happen to like the idea of not wasting $92 million on a military parade. I don't know how you feel, Joe, but I think I'd like to see the money spent in other places.
Well, $92 million to the military is like 50 cents to you. Yeah. It really, I mean, it doesn't.
Still no reason to blow it on that.
Well, I don't know.
Help out the VA.
It would have been. Yeah, well, that's
about Veterans Hospital, Veterans Administration. Also in the big three.
No great loss.
There is blowback against the president as a result of his stripping former CIA chief John Brennan of his security clearance. And, of course, rounding out the big three in a story that's been dominating the last 24 hours, we're going to remember the late Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. And she died yesterday at the age of 76. It was pancreatic cancer, and just sad. I mean, you know, it's and really the tributes that have come pouring in. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. Just want to remind you that coming up at 7:30, we have your Mets tickets. In fact, we'll be giving away Michael Riedel's personal seats as he finishes up his vacation today. You'll see the Mets and Giants next week, August 22nd. We have the Turning Point contest at 8:30, and that's going to come from the record-setting first game of the doubleheader yesterday when the Mets edged the Phillies 24-4. 24 runs, 25 hits, most runs, most hits.
I've got a guess on what the turning point is, okay, but I'm not going to say it.
Don't say it out loud.
I'll let you know at when we do the contest whether I had the right one.
One of the most touching moments with Aretha Franklin, she got a Kennedy Center's honor.
Yes.
And sang the song that Carole King helped write, Natural Woman. And anyway, let's just listen to a little bit of that. You know, the tributes, Joe.
I was watching the video from the Kennedy Centers, and Carole King was there. I mean, she was going crazy when that song was performed.
It really became such an anthem.
Yeah.
Let me just read a couple of the tributes. I mean, this was Smokey Robinson. I will miss her so much, but I know she's at peace. Quincy Jones treasured every moment he spent with her. Barbara Streisand, difficult to conceive of a world without her. Not only was she a uniquely brilliant singer, but her commitment to civil rights made an indelible impact on the world. You know, her songs became really anthems for civil rights.
For respect. I mean, the whole women's songs, too. And the thing is, I didn't realize this, that she began her career at 14.
Yeah.
14.
Do something. People kept talking about the purse. Did you hear all the stories yesterday? Apparently, she always carried her purse.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the early days of performing. And I forget which performer she took this from. Maybe James Brown. She wanted to be paid up front. You know, she was stiff earlier in her career. I'm going to be paid up front. She'd stick the money in her purse. I don't know if she'd stick the purse in the piano. I don't know what she'd do. But she played the piano well, too. Elton John, a blow for everybody who loves real music. Paul McCartney. Inspired us all for so many years. She'll be missed, but the memory of her greatness as a musician and a fine human being will live with us forever. So many interviews with her. I mean, she was asked about her inspiration.
Inspiration. When I first started out was Clara Ward and the Ward Singers. I was about 10, and they came to our church to sing. I was just so enthralled with her, and she was so good. I decided that day that I wanted to be a singer, too.
10 years old, she decided she wanted to be a singer.
And she said she never really took lessons. She said the only thing she used to teach her was her ears. She never took lessons.
Here she is talking about her anthem, Respect.
It was just good and funky, and I liked it, and my sister and I put the socket to me phrase to it. A little later on, it became a mantra for civil rights groups and various other people.
Really do. And the thing is, originally, Otis Redding did the song. What you
want, baby, I got. Nothing to say. I mean, I back in the day, and when I say back in the day, you know, I remember as a kid, we would always look at Billboard. My brother and my father was tangentially involved in the music business. And a new song, several singers would put it out. And I guess the public would decide which version they liked the best.
So
it's not unusual at all for somebody else to have done the song and someone else to then take it. Otis Redding is the first guy who did it. Aretha took it, and then she added the sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me. And that became, as she said, that became a mantra.
The big thing about Aretha, too, is, I mean, she had broad appeal. She crossed all genres.
Here's Mariah Carey talking about Aretha.
Obviously, Aretha Franklin, everybody has idolized, and she's influenced people that don't even know she's influenced them. You know what I mean? Because she's influenced the ones who have influenced the next generations of people.
Smokey Robinson.
First time I heard Aretha sing, she was probably about 6 years old. Her brother Cecil was one of my closest friends, and he had taken me to their house for the first time when they moved into the neighborhood. We go in, and I hear somebody in the next room playing the piano and singing, and I know it's a kid singing because I can tell by the way the voice sounds, but the kid is singing. And I go in there, and it's Aretha. She's playing the piano and singing. And the only difference in what she was doing then and what she does now is that she was smaller.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Here's Lenny Kravitz.
Her music has brought so much joy to the world, and so much soul and so much feeling. She truly is the queen of soul.
The Four Tops. I love the Four Tops back in the day.
You know, we used to watch Aretha when she was singing in our dad's church. You know, we used to go stand in the wings and listen to her when she was just like 16, 15 years old.
I went to school with her. You know, I went to Alger School, elementary school, with her and her brother Cecil. So, you know, we're way back.
Yeah, so I mean, when Aretha puts her voice on something, the rest is history. She's the greatest that ever did it, as far as I'm concerned.
Amazing. And the tributes. I guess I was a little blown away by the extent. I always knew she was great. I mean, Respect was a huge song when I was in school, but I was just, you know, total front pages of the papers, minutes upon hours on television, which is great because we didn't have to talk about politics.
Well, so no, Aretha
took us away from all the political stuff of the day. You know?
And the thing is, I mean, she had such longevity. She just, you know, she started young and continued to perform. First woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh,
that's cool stat.
Yes.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
So last night on The Tonight Show, Ariana Grande sang Natural Woman.
Oh, really?
And she actually cried while she was singing on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Say you make me feel, you make me feel, you make me feel like a natural woman, woman.
I had a tribute to Aretha last night. Very nice on The Tonight Show.
Wow, what a magical voice, huh?
Yeah, let's just do a quick little montage, just a couple of seconds of a couple of her hits.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
And a moment that got to me was she sang at the inauguration of Obama the first time around. And, I'll just play it for you because I just think it was stunning.
I can treat it on the sweet land of liberty.
And you know what?
I think at that point, I remember that. This country felt so good at that point.
Yeah, we did.
And he was such a disappointment.
All right. You don't have to get political there. But
you can't help yourself, you evil, evil man.
You just couldn't help yourself. By the way, we have the man who wrote the biography, written a couple of biographies about Aretha Franklin, Mark Bigo, will be coming up at 9:40 this morning. But you know what? I was thinking of that. She belted that out live. I wonder if she, I'll bet you she never lip synced. I bet you she always just
probably not.
Belted it out and did it like that. Anyway, the great, just great, Aretha Franklin. Hey, we've got your Mets tickets, and Governor Cuomo is awfully silent over his America was never great comment. Others, though, are speaking out about it. But first, let's see how traffic's doing. Here's Cindy Wayman. Well, we were talking about the phone calls we took yesterday, and almost all of them were in favor of the president stripping John Brennan, the former CIA chief, of his security clearance. And all the calls were when we dealt with the Andrew Cuomo issue. Now, here's what Cuomo said, and the calls are all basically negative.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
What?
We have not reached greatness.
Greatness, that's located next to the Loch Ness.
Greatness.
So I don't know. So now you were telling me that some journalists were spinning this, that he was saying we need equality, and that's why. But you know what?
Well, they're trying to provide a little cover. There's a couple of people that were saying, well, what he was trying to say was that there are, you know, some people that have not benefited from the greatness of America.
Is that what he was trying to say?
I don't know what he was trying to say, but it didn't come out right.
Well, here's what he said.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
America was never that great, huh?
Really? You can't include that. If you're trying to make the point that, look, there are a lot of people that haven't benefited from the greatness of this country, say that.
Yeah, well,
but don't say America has never been great.
Come on, look at all the people, including his grandparents who came to this country.
This is a great
my
country.
My grandparents, and look how the country got together after 9/11 and World War II and on and on and on. There was one, I don't know, is this fair? A poor girl on Fox. I don't know. So Ainsley Earhart was doing the morning Fox and Friends, and she was talking about Cuomo's comment.
We defeated communist Japan, radical Islamists.
So we defeated the.
We defeated communist Japan.
Communist Japan. I don't think so.
No.
So, okay. So she didn't get an A in history. She looks good, though.
She's beautiful.
She really looks great.
She can say anything she wants, Len, and I just nod my head. That's great, Ainsley.
So anyway, Blaine, who's filling in for Natalie, said, well, since since that was a communist country, then we have to play this, of course, from the historic movie Animal House.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
John Belushi. Was it over?
That's exactly what I thought of when I heard that quote from Ainsley.
When the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Oh, well. Minor details.
One of the great, great movies. Well, I guess we got to get serious here. Here's Mayor de Blasio on his good friend Andrew Cuomo's comments.
But I think it's really important to speak to the underlying issue. America is great. America has been great. We have a lot of work to do in America to make it a more fair and just country.
So he's kind of echoing what those who are defending Cuomo think that he was trying to say.
Well, he did not pounce like his Republican opponents.
Aren't you surprised? Because he hates Cuomo. I mean,
I know, but it's the same family. They're just, feuding cousins.
Don't you think that, I think Cuomo's got to say something. He just can't. Well, I know they put out a press release after and they tried to spin it. Maybe they think if they just don't say anything, it'll go away. Here's the thing. The debate is, what, the 29th?
Yes.
With Cynthia Nixon? Well, the 29th is 12 days from now. That's going to be the first issue Cynthia.
But the thing is, he has to address it. He has to redirect the focus before the 29th, because it's going to come up. It could come up a couple of times. So what he's going to have to do is, and I'm sure these guys up in Albany have been thinking about this, okay, what's the next step? How do we explain ourselves away from that? I'm sure he's going to say, I never meant to say that this is not a great country.
I'm going to give him some free advice. The best way to do this is always to say, I'm sorry. and keep it as short and as sweet as possible. Don't say, I'm sorry if I offended. No, leave the if out. Just say, I said something. I was trying to make a point. I did a poor job of making my point. I'm sorry. End of story and walk away. And you can't fault anyone if
That's
they say
true.
That.
Absolutely.
You say, okay, Governor, fine. Let's move on.
It didn't come out right. They never do that.
No. Ever. They always said, if I happen to have offended, I didn't mean. Stop. Just.
It was a dumb statement. You really have to disavow it.
I think you do.
Yes.
That would be good.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
Well, that's going to be the campaign ad against him from everybody.
Yeah.
We had his opponent on yesterday, Mark Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive. He kind of low-keyed it, but you could tell he was salivating.
I don't think this is going to make a difference.
Not for him, huh?
No.
All right.
No.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Put it in the Mets record books.
Ah, from yesterday.
Put it in the Mets record books, yes. And now it's your chance to win Michael's personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Giants August 22nd at Citi Field. Be caller number 24 for the 24 runs yesterday. How about that?
Or for Willie Mays. How about the 24 runs is good.
24 runs. 1-800-321-0710. Caller 24. You'll be the winner. And if you'd like to purchase tickets, you can go to Mets.com/tickets.
All right. Good luck, everyone. Caller 24. Right now, it's time for the latest news headlines. Good morning to you, Mike Bauer.
Good morning, Len. Good morning, Joe. It helps that the mic is on. Two dozen people are being treated for carbon monoxide exposure here in Manhattan.
The fireman walked in, said we had to evacuate. And obviously a carbon monoxide situation. I felt fine, but they took a reading and I have a monoxide level.
He has a monoxide level. Two fishermen are okay after a whale appears to have flipped their boat off the Jersey shore. NJ.com reports the incident happened yesterday about 50 yards from the beaches in Long Branch. A retired firefighter was fishing nearby, heard the distress call over the radio. He rushed over and helped bring to safety the two men that had been in the water clinging to their overturned vessel. No word on the whale at this point. And finally, guys, a 42-year-old British woman. Now, I will say this right now. I've worn glasses just for the past couple of years, never had to wear them before, never had to have contacts or any of that kind of stuff. My wife has.
Yeah.
This 42-year-old British woman went to the eye doctor because her upper eyelid was swollen and painful. That's when the doctor told her that there's a cyst in her eye, had to operate. Inside that blister, the surgeon found a contact lens.
Well, sure.
A rigid glass permeable contact lens that she hadn't worn in 28 years.
I knew I left it somewhere.
That was yours, Len? That's really unfortunate.
No, that's what she probably said.
She was bewildered. Her mother remembered an accident when the woman was 14 years old. She was playing badminton, hit in the eye with a shuttlecock. She wore rigid contacts at the time, and the contact in the injured eye was never found.
So they just thought they lost it.
They thought they lost it.
Wow, that's interesting.
So the family assumed the contact had flown out and that it had been lost. Indeed, it was buried in the eye there when surgeons discovered it. It was fully intact, appeared to have been perfectly encapsulated in the tissue. Wow. The process of removing it, the contact was then cracked and chipped. But prior to that, it was looking just like it was when she put it in her eye some 28 years ago.
You know, there's
ago.
Something unnatural about putting that kind of thing on your eyelid. I've tried it,
yeah.
And I've just mangled my eyes getting it in and out. It's useless.
Even putting the finger I can't do it.
I blink every time.
I completely do the same thing.
No, I know. I've never had to, but my wife tried and couldn't do it either.
Yeah.
That's got to be difficult.
My wife was warned because she'd have like the softer ones from the last couple, 10 years
or so. She would sleep in for a while,
and she was worried that that would be something that would happen was it would get stuck there. This news report is sponsored by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com.
All right, we've got our winner, so we can clear the phone lines because we want to open them up again. When we come back, it's going to be Open Phones Friday. What's on your mind? There's plenty to talk about. You want to talk about Aretha? Do you want to talk about Cuomo? You want to talk about the president and security clearances? Anything you want, we're here for you. 800-321-0710. Give us a call. First, Cindy Waitman has traffic.
710 WOR.
And it's 7:39. It is Friday, which means let's do some Open Phones Friday. Wow, there's been a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Maybe you want to weigh in on a memory that you have of Aretha Franklin or what she meant to you. Maybe you want to weigh in on the governor of New York saying, America was never that great. Or maybe you want to weigh in on the president and stripping security clearances. Is that the right thing to do? Or maybe there's something else you want to talk about. Maybe, Joe, we have a guest coming up in the next segment, Bill Donahue of the Catholic League. He's very critical of that Pennsylvania grand jury report where they said there were 1,000 people abused, 1,000 children abused by 300 priests. He's going to come on and speak with us live.
It's going to be interesting, and he's got a very interesting take on this thing. As you maybe recall from yesterday, I was very angry over this thing and right. unhappy with the church's response. And right. Bill, I talked to him last night. He's got an interesting reaction. I also talked to a priest friend of mine who's involved in counseling priests that go wayward. He assured me that there is protocol now that this stuff just does not happen anymore.
Mm. Well, maybe it's happened to you, one of our listeners, if you want to call on that subject. We're here for you, 800-321-0710. Before we get to your phone calls, we've got a winner.
We do. Bob Tortogrosso from beautiful Bud Lake, New Jersey, has won Michael's personal pair of tickets to see the Mets and the Giants August 22nd at Citi Field. You got another chance coming up at 8:30 if you know the turning point.
Now, did you actually seen Bud Lake? I mean,
yeah, beautiful absolutely. Bud Lake. Beautiful Bud
Is
Lake.
It? Yes. The Bud Lake.
Bud Lake.
Is there a Coors Light Lake?
There should be.
All right, let's hit the phones. Let's start with, how about we go to Frank in Flushing. Good morning, Frank. How you been?
Good morning, gentlemen. Howie Rose made a great observation at the beginning of yesterday's game pertaining to the passing of Aretha Franklin in yesterday's date, and it was, we lost a sultan on August 16th, a king on August 16th, and now a queen on August 16th.
That's right.
Meaning Babe Ruth, Elvis Presley, and Aretha Franklin. I thought it was a fabulous statement.
That is a good line. A sultan, a wow. king, and a queen. That's unbelievable.
See, that's one of those portals in the universe where the great people are allowed to pass through and go beyond. Yeah. Well, it is amazing, that date.
There was a great, I think it's the Daily News. It's a Bram Hall. Who does the cartoons in the Daily News? So Aretha Franklin gets up to the pearly gates, and Peter there.
You can't see the guy giving
a fist bump.
Fist bump, yeah.
Respect. That's what it said, just respect. Yeah. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Now, what do you make of this? You're telling me you think Manafort's going to get off?
Well, a Manafort team told Fox News, we're in the game. We're in the game. Now, meaning they got a shot.
So it's jury deliberations today for the second day for Paul Manafort right. in Virginia.
But after day one, the jury came back with some questions for the judge. They wanted some questions answered about what foreign financial accounts, how they're dealt with. But the more eye-opening question had to do with a definition of reasonable doubt. So that would indicate that there are some members of the jury that are not sold that the evidence is strong enough for conviction.
Wow.
Now, we thought it was pretty strong. I mean, it looked pretty open and shut to a lot of people.
They said it had all that paperwork. They kept emphasizing how many papers they had and how much they had in writing.
And I thought the defense on Manafort's part was a little weak, that, well, I don't do the bookkeeping.
Well, there was no defense. They never put on a defense.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Ellen in New Rochelle. Open phones Friday. We're at 800-321-0710. What's on your mind, Ellen?
Good morning. Yes, I just wanted to mention, not so much fake news, but I think what Joe said earlier, it's more biased news. This whole business with Cuomo and the ridiculous comments that he made, it was on page 5 of our local newspaper. Now, if Trump had said that,
page one,
it would have to be a
special rapper.
Yeah, it would have to be a custom-made front page. You would have to fold out and reach 4x4. And that's the point I'm making. It's not so much fake news, but bias.
I agree with you, Ellen, and even some of the TV coverage that I watch kind of gave him cover. Now, you would have thought, how could he make such a crazy and stupid statement? But, you know, they sort of went gentle on him.
Yes, yes, and I think that's the point that we have to see. I don't agree with the way he tweets. I think he's very thin-skinned and all that, but fair is fair, and he does not get the fair coverage that he should. That's all.
Thanks, Ellen.
The other thing, too, like, on the coverage of this Brennan, removing of the security clearance, I watched NBC, and I would say 7/8 of the report was negative. All the people complaining about how bad it was. And then, oh, by the way, there's some people who agree.
You know what, Ellen makes
That's not fair.
Ellen makes a good point. I thought the Cuomo story was buried in some of the papers.
Of course.
It really was. And you think that's because they lean Democratic?
Yeah,
really?
Sure. Absolutely. It's, yeah, I mean, Democrats, liberals get a pass on these stupid things.
Well, you accuse me of leaning left, but I thought what Cuomo said was absolutely stupid. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Hey, Vince wants to weigh in. He's listening on the iHeart app in Florida. Good morning, Vince. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, good morning. You know what? And the media doesn't lean left. They are out of control to the left. And let me tell you why Trump should tweet and why people are angry. You know, just last week, and I'm not going to blame your show because I like your show. Thanks, and I'm not going to blame you, Len, or anybody. But last Friday, you had a guy on by the name of Klein who works for ABC.
I was off.
And you asked,
I was off. Okay. Don't blame me.
See, I didn't blame you.
Thank you. What happened?
And, but anyway, he was on, and you can go back and look it up. They asked him what the big story was going to be this weekend. And this guy specifically said, well, the rally, he called it a rally, the white supremacist rally on the lawn of the White House. Now, that was not a slip. Those are little details that they always seem to get wrong. And that little detail, I said, he can't be inviting those people on the lawn of the White House. Nobody gets on the lawn of the White House. That's not an area where you protest. But this guy, Klein, specifically said, on the lawn of the White House, the white supremacists are having a rally. And yeah, all 20 of them showed up.
And not on the lawn, right?
Right. It's out front. They can't get on the lawn. That's where you do the Easter egg hunt. It's not where you have the whites. But he made it seem that Trump is supporting these people. And he's not. It's insane.
Vince, I was here. I remember that. And he was wrong on both parts because, you know, obviously it wasn't on the lawn, but I think he was speaking literally in front of the White House. The other issue, too, was that really did fizzle. But at the moment, you know, on Friday,
it looked like it might be a story.
And thanks, there was going to be a counter rally.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go to Bill in, Pennsylvania. We got them all over the place. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Oh, great, great. Enjoy your show. I don't really think that the president's stifling Brennan's speech. He still can speak all he wants. He can go on NBC, CNN, whatever he wants. He just doesn't have to have the security clearance to know everything that's going on. And as far as Panetta and Hayden, well, we know where they lay. I mean, come on, they're not like like neutral observers. And that guy that wants a security clearance, if he feels that way, why don't he just give it up?
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Right. You know, I just think it comes across as petty. Hey, let's check out Mark here in the city. Mark, quickly.
Yes, the media is deliberately distorting the Catholic priest scandal. They're not mentioning that since 2012, for the last 16 years, the Catholic Church has one of the lowest child sex abuse rates of all churches in the country, all nonprofit organizations. The media is focusing in on child sex abuse that took place in the 1940s, 1950s, and 1960s.
Hey, Mark, you teed us up perfectly because when we come back, we're going to be joined live by Bill Donahue of the Catholic League. He's critical, as you are, of that Pennsylvania grand jury report that details priest sexual abuse. But right now, that's coming up next. But first, Cindy Waitman with Trent. At 7:54, we have some great guests lined up today, including Long Island Congressman Peter King at about 8:40. At 9 o'clock, we'll have Katie Lowes. She starred in the TV series Scandal. She's now on Broadway in Waitress. At 9:40, we have Mark Bigo, who wrote the biography of the late Aretha Franklin. A lot to go, and a great guest now. He is Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League. You saw the headlines this week. The grand jury report out of Pennsylvania saying 300 priests, at least 1,000 kids sexually abused. And he put out a paper yesterday saying that he is debunking that grand jury report. Good morning to you, Bill.
Thank you, Len. How are you doing, Joe?
Good. Hi, Bill.
So why are you debunking the report? What's wrong with the report?
There are so many lies, it's unbelievable. First of all, there weren't 300 priests. Some of them were brothers, some were seminarians. Some were deacons. This goes back to World War II. Nobody, not one priest, ever had a chance to rebut a single charge. Not one. Most of them are dead. Did you know that? The listeners know. Most of them are dead, and the ones who are alive have been thrown out of the Catholic Church. Now, I'm waiting for the grand jury report of the public schools. Oh, I'm waiting. But I guess I'm going to have to wait for a very long time.
You know, Bill, this was a shocking report, and even the Vatican came out and called it horrible. And I think it was roundly denounced, the abuse. I think, and it really troubled me. So I reached out to a friend of mine who's a priest involved in this, and he told me that there is new protocol now, that this does not happen anymore.
Well, of course it doesn't happen. I know this stuff. I've written books on it, and I've read the reports on it. Do you know what percent of priests, over 52,000 priests and deacons in this country, had a credible accusation made against them in the last 2 years combined? 0.005%. We had this problem in the 60s, 70s, and the 80s. 90% of the cases in Pennsylvania were before 1990. All right? This is not getting out. We don't have this problem anymore. Other places have it, but nobody wants to talk about it. And the grand juries cherry-pick the Catholic Church. They won't do it with anybody else. Somebody says, well, we got to get rid of the statute of limitations. Fine. Are you going to do it for the public schools as well? Take a look at the bills, people. The bills that are promoted never touch the public schools. This is why I am angry at some of these priests. They're sickos. But I'm also angry at the duplicity and the hypocrisy of what's going on.
Well, they should affect everyone. Sexual abuse if it's public, if it's religious.
But the bills never do that. They did that one time in 2009 in New York, and the public school establishment went crazy, as they should. But they haven't opened their mouth since 2009 because every bill that's promoted up in Albany doesn't cover the public schools. Okay. The word doesn't get out on this.
So, Bill, clearly I'm not Catholic, so I watch the movie Spotlight about the Boston Globe. I see this Pennsylvania report, and my reaction is, oh, we got a widespread problem. But you point out in your 11-page paper yesterday debunking the report, is one fact you put out is no one's been found guilty of anything.
That's right. And listen, if half of them were guilty, some of these people were really demonic, some of the stuff that went on. But all I'm simply saying is that if nobody has a chance to rebut anything, and there are lies in there, they lied about Cardinal Wuerl, they attributed a handwriting thing to him, which they have positive proof was not his handwriting. They were told that. The legal counsel of Wuerl told that to them. It doesn't matter to these people. They said these kids were all raped. They weren't raped. I'm not justifying anything. Most of them were groped, which is horrible. But there's a difference between a mugger and a murderer, and there's a difference between a groper and a rapist. But they're going to put the worst possible case on it. And in almost all cases, we're not talking about pedophilia. That's the other big lie that's out there. In almost every case, it's a homosexual who's involved here. And I'm not saying, just so everybody knows it, I'm not saying homosexuality causes predatory behavior. I am saying that almost all of the cases in Pennsylvania and in the John Jay report that came out in 2004 talks about homosexual priests, male-on-male adolescents, not little kids.
Bill, how does the Catholic Church move away from this image? It's an awful image, and it keeps getting more more fuel to the fire here when reports like this come out in Pennsylvania.
Well, it's going to continue as long as you have grand juries only going after the Catholic Church. What can I tell you? Besides, grand juries, as everybody should know, these are accusations. They're all rebuttable, but no one's allowed to rebut them. I'm opposed to the release of the grand jury investigations of anybody on anyone. If somebody made a charge against you, Joe or Len, today about something that you did 20 years ago and they brought it out in a grand jury report and you never had an opportunity to rebut it, you'd be outraged. I'd be outraged if they did that to me. And I'm outraged when they do that to my fellow brother priest.
Bill Donahue, the Catholic League, I admire your passion. I really do. I appreciate
you. Guys are so fair. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks appreciate a lot, Bill. Yeah, real quickly, then, the priest friend of mine, he said in the past when there was this inappropriate touching, things like that, it was considered a sin, not a crime.
So you're making the point, I think Bill's making the point, that nowadays there are protocols.
There's a new protocol.
Doesn't happen now.
2002, effective in 2002.
2002, well, that's
2002. This
that's
is quite a while
years.
Ago.
Yeah.
And the protocol is, if there is an incident reported, it immediately has to be reported to the police and investigated by an independent investigator.
Really? So that's in effect.
That's why I think the point Bill's trying to make, it's not happening anymore.
Well, that's
comforting.
Fair. Well, that should be brought out. So I thank you, and I thank Bill Donahue of the Catholic League. And when we come back, what? No military parade? God, I'm crushed. Oh, but there is a new Omarosa tape. It's 8 o'clock.